The following talk is from St. Michael's Fulwell, a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington and beyond. Our passion is to see every life following Jesus. For more information, visit our website, stmichaelsfulwell.co.uk.
And we are going to turn to our part of our youth carol service where we are going to look at the Bible, at God's word. Demi and Joel are going to come up and read for us. And we are in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, which Demi's going to read, and then verse 8 to 21, which Joel will read. That is found on page 1027. So page 1027 of the Bibles.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place with Quirinius, the governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea in Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expected a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for him.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what he had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived.
Well, good evening, everybody. My name's Tim. I'm the curate here at St. Michael's. And we're going to spend the next 15 minutes or so thinking a little bit more about that reading. So why don't I pray? I'm going to ask for God's help as we come to this, his true and his good word, before we kick off. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words about the birth of the magnificent, wonderful Saviour. We pray that you'd help us to see the Lord Jesus so clearly in this tonight and know the joy that can be found in him. Amen. Amen. Well, as we start, I want you to have a think for me for a minute. What is the best news you've ever heard? Right, the best news that you've ever heard. Picture it in your mind. Because we all love a bit of good news, don't we? Yeah, whether it's a phone call or an email or something someone tells us. We love a bit of good news. And what we've got in these verses this evening is the best news ever. That's what this reading gives us. This reading, this story about the birth of Jesus gives us the best news ever. News so good that we're still talking about it 2,000 years later, halfway around the world. So what's going on? Right, it's a story that lots of us will know. And the first chunk is probably familiar to lots of us. We've probably sat through what you might have been in. Lots of nativities where some poor year six is struggling with the names Caesar and Augustus and Quirinius. Demi, you did fantastically well done. I've had to practice that this week. And it's a familiar story, right? Caesar, he wants to know who's in his empire. He wants to raise taxes, so he calls a census. And so everybody needs to go back to their hometown to make sure that HMRC have got the right details. And that's where Joseph enters the story. Right, we see that down in verse 4, sentence number 4. We read of Joseph. Now, at the moment, he's living in a place called Nazareth, but he is from two counties across in Bethlehem. And so because Joseph has got to go home, that's exactly what he does. He's engaged to a local girl called Mary, and we're told she's expecting a baby. And so off they go, Joseph and Mary, a little donkey playing in the background, I'm sure, as we've all been told to believe. And off they go, 80 miles or so to Bethlehem. They arrive, and when the time comes for her to have her baby, well, there's no room for them anywhere. And so they make do with what they can find, likely a communal space, it's where animals were. And so when she gives birth to her boy, he's placed in a feeding trough for animals. It's a remarkable story, and one that's actually told pretty quickly, given that what we've just read is the arrival of this massive book's biggest character. And I think there are a few things that the author, that Luke, wants us to know, just from these opening seven verses. And firstly, he wants us to know that these were real people. They were real people, Mary and Joseph, living in real history. You know what I mean by real history, not myth, not legend, not fantasy, but recordable, reliable history. You know, Luke goes to great lengths to tell us who was about at the time. He kind of gives us the prime minister, he gives us who's in cabinet, he gives us the local councillors. Why would he give us all those details if he was trying to pull the wool over our eyes? Right, if he was trying to convince us that something happened that didn't really. No, we all know if you want a lie to be believable, you make it as vague as possible so that people don't find out. Now, why would Luke give us all of these things that we can go back and check if it didn't happen? No, Luke wants us to be certain that this really happened. These were real people. And he also wants us to know, this is the second thing, that these were people in one of the most famous families in the story of the Bible. Because twice we're told there that Joseph is from the family of David, or the line of David. That basically means he is David's great, 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 and so on and so on and so on, grandson. And David, well, he was the big king in the history of God's people. He was a big deal. He was a wonderful king. He was there when God's people were kind of at their strongest and wealthiest. But that the most important thing about David is that David was promised that one day someone in his family would come and be the great king. The king who would rule over God's people with perfect fairness and justice and equity. The king that would rule forever. That was promised to David. And Joseph is in his family. So, Mary and Joseph. They were real people living in real history. They were from this kind of great Bible family. But millions, billions of babies have been born since this one. So what makes this baby so special? Right? What is it about this birth that makes us still talk about it today? Well, to find out, we need to meet the shepherds. So as Joel read, the next scene. So we leave the couple and their new baby, and we kind of zoom out now, and we go to the fields and the hills surrounding Bethlehem. Nothing unusual to begin here with, right? We've got some shepherds watching over their sheep. Nothing unusual, and nothing particularly special. You see, shepherds at this time were about as normal as you could get. Right, no great education, no skill, no craft, no status, no money. They were as average, bang average as you could get. No, they were ordinary people doing an ordinary job, and then suddenly something extraordinary happens. You see, like a star that burst above them, an angel appeared. And forget like a cute little girl with tinsel in her hair. No, angels in the Bible were phenomenal. You see, when when people in the Bible meet an angel, usually they either think they've died because they're so amazing, or they think they've met God because they're so wonderful. Now the angel appears, and this angel is a messenger from God. He tells him, don't be afraid. And then he speaks, possibly, the greatest words ever uttered to mankind. This is what he says. Have a look down with me in your Bibles. Verse number 10, halfway down that second column on page 1027. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Do you see that? God's message through the angel to the shepherds that night. God's message to us tonight. There is good news that will cause great joy. Good news that will cause great joy. And there's a tiny word in this verse that I think often gets overlooked, because this word tells us who this news is for. It's a small detail, but can you see? He says this, let me find it again. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. It's a tiny detail, but I think it unlocks the scope and magnitude of how good this news is. All people, that's what the angel says, not some people, not a specific type of person, but all people, meaning all types. You know, young, old, rich, poor, black or white, whether you're going to go to the University of Oxford or the University of Life, whether you see your days out as a plumber or the Prime Minister, this news is for all. And wonderfully, that means it's news for me. It's news for you. You see, no one misses out. No one is disenfranchised. No one is too great or too insignificant. No one is passed over for this news that will cause them great joy. Now, it's not for a select few, you know, the squeaky clean, the ones that went to the right kind of school or hold the right kind of passport or speak the right kind of language. This news is for all. And so what is the news about? Oh, and this is the big one, right? This is the heart of the news. This is the picture underneath the headline on the BBC front page. And we get that in verse 12. Have a look down with me. This is what the angel says. This is what the news is about, or rather, who the news is about. The angel says this. Verse 12, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. See that? A baby. A baby. This is the cause of this good news that brings great joy. Now, I was doing some Googling earlier this week. The UN estimates that every single day, globally, there are 385,000 babies born. And think about that amount of babies. 385,000, year after year, day after day. Now, I'm sure that lots of those babies are good news. I'm sure lots of those babies bring great joy, but none of those babies have got their birthday announced by an angel. So why this one, right? What is it about this baby that brings so much joy? Well, the angel tells us. You know, the angel tells us that this good news about great joy, that will cause great joy, is about a baby who will save. You know, the angel gives us three reasons behind the hype. He gives it to us in kind of three names or three titles, three things that the baby will do. And he says this in verse 11. Today in the town of David, that's Bethlehem, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And you see, firstly, he says that the baby is going to be a Savior. And the people of Bethlehem that night absolutely needed a savior. You know, generations of subjugation to a foreign power. You know, the Romans were the ones in charge, not their leaders. The economic strife and poverty, and on top of that, new taxes coming down from Caesar. You know, no universal healthcare for them, so high rates of infant mortality. No schools, so people couldn't really read. And these poor shepherds kind of trapped in a minimum wage job with no career progression. You know, maybe that's what the shepherds were thinking that night when the angel said, a saviour has been born to you. Because maybe if someone said to us, a saviour has been born to you, that's what we might think. Just have a think for a moment. If you could make one thing in your life just disappear, what would that thing be? What do we need saving from? Is it, impending exams that we feel woefully underprepared for? Is it a toxic relationship we just can't get out of or distance ourselves from? For those of us a bit older, is it the cost of living crisis at the moment that is just eating into our wallets? Is it the burden of caring for elderly parents? Is it the news from a doctor to a loved one? I'm afraid it's inoperable. We all need saving from something. That is a reality for all of us, isn't it? And we all love a saviour, right? We all love a saviour. Just look at the films that we watch. I think one of the best films ever made is The Incredibles. Anyone with me? Yeah, anyone old enough to have watched it yet? I think The Incredibles is a fantastic film because it's all about a saviour. I was also having a look, and of the top 10 highest grossing films in box office history, 7 of them are all about superheroes or saviours or someone coming to save the day. Does anybody know what the highest grossing film of all time is? Anyone want to have a go? Shout us out. Avengers, not number one. No, number one was Avatar, right, back in 2009. That grossed 2.8 billion in the cinema. That is more than the GDP of the Gambia. And then in at number two was the Avengers. Man, we love a hero. We absolutely love a savior because both of those films are centered around the idea of someone coming and saving. Someone swooping in on a cape. And I know you can't really do this in the final scene, The Incredibles. You know that you're not really allowed capes, but I feel superheroes need capes. But there is the idea of someone coming in a cape to save us. Because I think hardwired into us is the reality that we need a saviour. And whether that trouble is aliens from outer space, or relationship problems, or mounting debt, we're all in trouble. Now you see the shepherds, just like us, had plenty that they needed saving from. But the reality that night for them is that there was a far greater reality. There was a far greater trouble that they needed help with. Because this baby, this saviour, would save from the biggest problem to face humanity. He would save humanity from that age-old problem that we walk away from God. That I choose me over him, that I centre my life around me rather than the one that made me and loves me and wants a relationship with me. That so often we choose pride over humility, we choose anger over gentleness, we choose gossip over kindness. And we all know that feeling, don't we, within us. As soon as someone makes that sniping little comment to us in the classroom or the playground, the first thing I want to do is snipe something back. Now, the Bible's got a really simple word for this problem. The Bible calls it sin, and this is what separates us from God. And it's what will cost us our lives in the end. That is what the shepherds needed saving from that night. And that's what I need saving from tonight. And this is why it's good news, right? This is why it is good news that causes great joy, because this is what that baby came to do. It came to be our saviour. He came to be our saviour. That's the first thing the angel tells us. And by far the most significant. Next. This one's much shorter, don't worry. The angel also tells us that this baby will be the Messiah. This is the second title. And this would have been huge for the shepherds, because they knew the history of their own people. They knew who the Messiah was, that the Messiah was the promised king of the Old Testament, the one that all of these pages speak about. Dozens of prophecies over hundreds of years. They were waiting for this person, and finally they were being told they were here. The king who would come and gather God's people and bring them into a perfect relationship with him. The promised saving king, the Messiah, was here. And then we get the final title. And this would have blown their minds. The angel tells them that this baby would be the Lord. And the Lord is the Bible's name for God. This baby would be God. That little human that was breathing in that manger, the very oxygen that he willed into being as a creator of the world. Your authority like no other, power like no other. We started the reading with that nod to Caesar. Now, he was the most powerful guy in the world at the time, but comparing Caesar to God is like trying to hold up a candle to the power of the sun. It does not even compare. This baby, this saving baby, has got power and authority. Absolutely, he was the savior, and he was the ruling and the reigning king of kings. You see, this baby would be God. You see, as well as being the savior, he has the power to be able to do it. He alone can fix that problem of sin, of our distance to God, because he was God. He is the only one that can take us by the hand and lead us home. That is the good news of great joy that went to the shepherds that night. That was the good news. And good news needs a response, doesn't it? I think back just 10 minutes to what you were thinking about, the best news you've ever heard or received. You know, when you opened that email or had that phone call or spoke to that person, once you'd received that good news, what did you do? You know, jumped up and down, shouted out, ran and told someone, messaged a friend. I very much doubt you ignored it. No, good news needs a response. It needs the right response, because ignoring good news is very much a response that a lot of people do. And the news about the baby that we've seen tonight, the saving king, God himself born to rescue us, that needs the right response. And we saw that with the shepherds in the second chunk that Joel read to us. You know, they hear this amazing news. They see this amazing group of angels. And as soon as the angels disappear, the shepherds turn to one another and say, let's go. This is verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. You see, they don't delay. They hear, and they go, and they check it out, and then they respond. They tell everyone. They worship God because of the Savior that they've seen. And it makes sense, doesn't it? It would seem really weird if verse 15 read like this. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, nice. Not really my thing, though. And they went back to tending their sheep. Right? It just doesn't seem right, does it? No, suddenly their sheep seem really insignificant as they run to look upon the face of the person who had saved them. They weren't indifferent to the news. They weren't annoyed at the interruption. They weren't deluded at their need. No, they hear, they check it out, and they respond by praising God. That's the right response. That's what the shepherds give us to this good news of great joy. And so as we close, let me ask you this evening. You've heard the news. You've seen and heard what the shepherds saw and heard. And so how will you respond? And let me suggest one response. To check it out. Go and see the person of the Lord Jesus like the shepherds. Because this is the good news that brings great joy. And don't you want joy this Christmas? Not mere happiness that kind of comes and goes with the days and the weeks, but real and lasting and deep joy. Check out the person of Jesus. As you leave, there's going to be a stall with some of these books on the back. These are our gift to you this Christmas. If you would like to hear a little bit more about the joy of Christmas and the person of the Lord Jesus, please take one of these. There's going to be a stack of them at the back. Please take one. Read it. Come back to church. We'd love to continue the conversation. Don't delay. go quickly like the shepherds. Check it out. And it's our prayer that you'd respond in worship to God like the shepherds. Now let's respond to the good news that Jesus is the Saviour, he's the Messiah, he's the Lord. He's the good news that brings great joy. I'm going to pray, and then I'll hand back over to Johnny. Oh, Lord God, we thank you for this news that we've seen this evening, that the Lord Jesus, the one born at Christmas, is our Saviour. I thank you that he is the Messiah, he's the promised King, that he is the Lord, he is God. Oh, thank you that this is the best news ever for the joy that we have when we find our meaning and our life and our hope in the Lord Jesus. Thanks for this great news, Father. Amen.